I know you.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Say, I don't even know your name.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of the show, 60 minutes on the clock as we continue to roll. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday at Gao Media. As I mentioned before the break, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects, top of the page. If you missed anything like the Adam Schefter interview or all the other fun stuff we had today, just click and catch up on the hours you missed. While you're there on the website, you can also download the app and take us anywhere, everywhere, never have a problem.
There you go. So on the text line.
Uh-oh. Feedback? Immediate feedback?
First of all, I don't even get this one. This is just stupid ass at its finest. But it just says, as a comic, and then it has the little laughing, crying emoji. Mm. It says, okay, man, simmer down here. I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean. Are you implying that I'm not a comic that gets paid to tell jokes to people on stage and has been so for 5 years and actually doing comedy for six? But all right, you should probably do better, texter. And then someone texted this. X was a good dude. We're talking about XXXTentacion, the guy that with the rapper we were talking about the previous segment that was murdered and the joke and everything. X was a good dude. He had demons, as we all do. He was working to make the world a better place. He helped millions of people with mental health awareness. I'm sorry, but beating up a gay cellmate because he's gay isn't helping make the world a better place. Breaking 30 coat hangers over your girlfriend's legs. Threatening to cut her tongue out because she sang a part of a song from another dude that you were also on the song with is not making the world a better place. So you can save that argument. That's the equivalent of saying, well, Greg Hardy tried to make the world a better place and bring awareness to domestic violence by beating up his girlfriend. That way people would know that it exists and it's awful. That's not how you make the world a better place. I'm sorry.
There's a video on YouTube, I believe the podcast, where he told a story about beating up the gay inmate.
Yeah.
The podcast is called No Jumper, I guess. And the first 45 seconds, which it has 1.1 million views, which is kind of... The first 45 seconds is pretty bad. I mean, the gay slur he uses is the F word.
Yeah.
And he says it multiple times. And at one point, the podcaster on the other side of the table had to tell him, look, if you use that word, it's kind of problematic. But he kept using the word and said, no disrespect to gay people. So that's the kind of things that makes you a bad person. If you beat somebody up in a cell, I mean, unless he did something incredibly egregious to him that I don't know about, that doesn't make the place a better world. Like, it just the world a better place. It just doesn't do that. Like, you can't expect people to think you're a good person. But it's also, you talk about that internet culture, Barry. He's a rapper, and people just assume he's right. They want to join that bandwagon of killing other people and defending him when they don't really know the significance of the situation.
Would you say that him telling his girlfriend, quote, you need to tell me the truth right now or I'll kill you and this unborn child and a pregnancy that they both planned, would that be making the world a better place? I mean, let's not... Again, I'm not wishing or glad that this dude was murdered. That's awful. Mm-hmm. But the whole point is that people are coming to his defense when a joke that wasn't even about him. And now there's people like this guy that texted and said he was a good dude. No, I'm sorry, he wasn't. And you should never, ever text this show again when we talk about athletes who have done bad things and say they're awful people because your judgment is terrible.
Well, let me say this too. How many times have all three of us been in the situation where, whether it's covering sports or other things, we're quick to say, that's a good dude. But we don't really know them. We don't hang out with them. We don't know what they're like when the lights aren't on, the microphones aren't around, or they're not performing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find out, when you spend time, I can't tell you how many times my bubble was burst when there was a guy that came to our team that I was like, I've heard he's a great dude and he's going to be fantastic to be on this team. And you find out, whether it be a day, a week, a month, or down the road, and you go, damn, I was wrong. And this dude is not a good person. He's just faked it really well.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, I don't know. And this guy that was like, as a professional comedian, he said, my buddy's gotten paid to be in multiple short films. He doesn't consider himself an actor. Okay, well, that's great for your buddy. But, dude, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about my experience as a comic. If you don't think I'm a comic, I don't give a crap. Like, that, I almost said.
Woo, I thought you were going
I almost
there.
Did. I don't care. Like, you're being petty and stupid, and I'm not going to entertain you anymore. Chris Householder said Barry is a comedian. Oh, no, I'm not, Chris, apparently, because this one dumbass thinks I'm not. But Barry is a comedian. Do you watch a lot of stand-up? I've always wondered if y'all avoid each other. I try not to watch a lot, especially, like, local guys, because you don't want to end up stealing somebody's stuff. But I will watch, like, guys that I'm a fan of or, like, specials that come out on Netflix. Well, but even then, I still worry about taking ideas.
I was going to say, and we've talked about the Carlos Mencia kind of thing in the past, but that seems to be more prevalent in comedy than almost anything else, where whether it's, you know, like something we would do on the air, like a bit on radio, or, you know, or a certain one-liner or things like that. That's even different than how sensitive it is in the comedic industry to just be careful that you don't infringe on someone else's livelihood and steal a joke that they did. And I don't think people realize that enough.
No.
It's different than, you know, if somewhere in, like, say, Alabama, they did a Way Back Wednesday or something like that. Different. It's not the same, because their show and our show aren't reliant solely on the success or failure of Way Back Wednesday. Whereas with you guys, I mean, the question I always have is, if you're just sitting around, like, say, Tulsa this weekend, and you guys are sitting around the house, and you're just kicking it, and everybody's throwing stuff around, and all of a sudden, you guys start getting on a kick where something's really funny, and you're kind of elaborating on it, kicking around. What do you do? Do you have to go to them and say, I'd like to use this or create a joke or a bit about this?
It's so funny, because that actually came up, because there are some comics that are annoying about it. Like, a lot of times, if you've been doing this for a minute, and you kind of, you know, you don't think about those things necessarily. Now, a lot of comics that are especially newer in the game, you'll be sitting around chopping it up, having a good time, and somebody will say something funny, and the first words out of their mouth are you going to use that? Can I use that? Are you going to use that? And it's like, dude, chill out. Like, no one needs to use that. Write your own jokes and do your own thing. If there's something that maybe you can't really figure out who started it, but you're going on it, and we might look at each other and say, like, man, you need to turn that into a bit. Or I might do this on stage. Do y'all care? Or do we squash it? But it really doesn't come up that much. It really doesn't. And it's just got to be something that's absolutely killer. Because I think most comics, I know in my case, I used to, when I first started, I would worry about, oh, I'm never going to be able to, you know, I got to hoard all these jokes because I can't write enough. And then you realize that you never really run out. You just get lazy. So if something happens and you know, there's something happens at the table, like Ben, the headliner, was doing this thing. I was like, bro, you need to turn that into a sketch. That's hilarious. Because he was talking about basically how comedy is getting so bad that one day you're like, it's so automated and you know, that one day you're going to go to a club and it's basically you're going to scan your phone and you're going to sit in a booth like those old stripper booths in New York where it was a glass cage or a glass window and it had a curtain in front of it. You're going to pull up the names of the comedians and you're going to push play. The curtain goes up and there's a comedian. You get 10 minutes and the curtain closes and that's it. And he was talking about all this automated stuff. I was like, dude, that would make a great sketch. But that's as far as it went. Like, no one's trying to, you know, do anything with it. But it does come up on occasion. And usually you just ask, hey, I might do that on stage.
Because isn't it also interpretation? Like, the three of us, we could be sitting around and we could have something really funny happen that we all just get a huge rise out of. And then based on that, we might have different interpretations of how it all went down and what happened and what made it funny, to where you, based on your own interpretation, you could get your own joke out of it.
Yeah, it comes up on occasion,
okay,
and it becomes an issue on occasion. But usually, if you're around working professional comics that are, you know, features and headliners, we don't think about that. So we're usually just wanting to chill and chop it up and have some fun and whatever. We're not trying to always be on, as they say.
And let me tell you, don't worry about the guy that used the crying emoji.
Yeah,
because hour number one, I was the target of his ire.
Oh, he's a dumbass.
So essentially, mom raised the rent on being able to stay in the basement, and he's having a tough day. So he decided to lash out at us. Nick, hour number three, it's all on you. If a 503 area code comes in from the Portland or Oregon area, best be assured it's not going to be a positive experience.
And I don't understand this. Somebody said, shut up with this Me Too crap, Barry. What is that? Dude, I don't think you know what Me Too is.
No, he knows. He believed me, he knows.
Oh, you know who it is?
No, that person knows. He just doesn't care about the Me Too movement, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
There was no Me Too. I don't know.
But there was no Me Too. Yeah, this wasn't a Me Too situation, but yeah.
Our texters are the biggest idiots sometimes. Oh, here you go. Stop with your Me Too, always going with the crowd. I don't know what you're talking about.
When have you ever gone with the crowd?
Bro, lose this number. And then he used the gay slur for the F word. And you're blocked now.
There you go.
Good luck.
And good riddance. Take care of yourself.
If you're going to do that.
Y'all take good care.
Goodbye.
So plenty more to get to. You heard Adam Schefter's take on what's going on with the Texans. Again, don't worry about the fact that DeAndre Hopkins and JJ are going to start on the PUP list. I don't know exactly what the issue is with D-Hop that he said isn't ready to start camp. But look. As from a veteran perspective, and there's going to be guys out there. Vets know what the deal is. They know how to get ready, and they know their own bodies, and they know when they're ready to perform. And so you worry less and less about the fact that it's probably a good thing in a lot of cases that these guys get a little extra time to not have to push it until the season starts when you want them to be at 100% pushing it.
Yeah, if you're looking at this roster and you're like, who do we want? Because now think about this, too. By doing this, you free up two extra spots to bring in two extra guys into camp. Because these guys are
They just can't be on the opening day roster.
That's right. But you have two more slots to audition guys.
Good point.
And so you've got, all right, we know if you're looking at this Texans roster, what are the first two names that you're going to point out that are veterans, that you want healthy, that you don't want to overtax going into a season? Probably the best player on the team. Which one are you picking?
Right now I'm taking DeAndre Hopkins.
D-Hop is the best player on this team. I would agree with
you. Yes.
And then the other one is J.J. Watt based on the back surgery and coming back and everything else. And people
are going to say, why isn't Deshaun Watson in that? Well, because for the most part, he's young and he's spry and he's been relatively healthy. And we get it. The quarterback's the most important position. But look, he hasn't had the track record like J.J. has at his age. Deshaun's been able to overcome a couple of ACLs, but he obviously proved that he can come back and be strong. And we all know in the preseason and training camp, quarterbacks aren't getting touched.
Yeah.
So that's not something you worry about. These guys are playing positions where there's a ton of route running and reps and drills that can take its toll on you. So we'll see.
And plus, you know what? This is a team with a lot of holes to fill and two more slots on the in the preseason that you can audition two more bodies. I hope they're both left tackles.
Yeah, no doubt. And the other thing is, what Shefty said that's a little demoralizing, not a whole lot of interest in trying to get a trade lined up on Clowney. So, yeah. Bill O'Brien, you might want to change your stance or at least be open-minded to it, because otherwise, if you do end up losing him, it's not going to be in a trade. It sounds like it's going to be you just part ways and don't get anything for it.
Yeah, you are on the clock.
So, there we go. Still rolling through a final hour of the show, and there's plenty more to get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, you want to do it in a discussionary fashion, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call that number. Text that number. If you're from Oregon, lose that number. We'll be back with more. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you suspects out there in the big city. Looks like we may get a little rain.
Uh-oh.
I always chuckle when the weather men and women say a cold front is coming in. Well, not like you'd want. That just means instead of 95 plus, it's 89 plus. And that's not that big of a difference. But we do like to give back to you suspects. And speaking of something fun to do this summer, Rooftop Cinema Club is the ultimate open-air film experience. You can enjoy awesome food, craft cocktails on the rooftop at sunset with comfy deck chairs, personal headphones. You can enjoy iconic movies under the stars, uninterrupted. It is a very cool setting. Caller number 12 right now, 713-780-3776, wins a pair of lounge seat tickets plus popcorn to see Boys in the Hood, Monday, July 29th, 8:30 p.m. A good flick, to say the least. To check out their full program and book tickets at or go to rooftopcinemaclub.com. That's rooftopcinemaclub.com. But again, caller number 12 right now. You get two free tickets, 713-780-3776. Good luck. Easy for me to say. Good Lord. It's a very cool environment, though. It's up on a high rise.
Yeah.
In downtown. Starts like right after dusk. But yeah, you can, you know, it's kind of like the whole, you know, where you can get, what do you call the, at the Texas, the movie theaters now where you can get food and beverages and.
Oh, like the Alamo Draft House,
yeah,
and all
like
that?
Yeah, like the draft houses.
A dining.
But to be outside on a rooftop with a big screen under like the night sky, it's awesome.
They should do that with porn.
No, because then you get, everybody's got to call you little fella.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, get a little sandwich or something. No?
No.
All right, maybe just me.
That's always a possibility, Barry. Maybe it's just you.
I'll leave it at that.
All right. So we can get a little back into sports if you'd like a little bit.
Sure, let's do it. We can get off talking comedy and...
Just news of the day, and I wanted to get your guys' opinion on everything. Nick, you kind of broke down the fight a little bit, but Manny Pacquiao, after a spell where he maybe looked like he had lost a little something, boy, he put together a hell of a performance on Saturday night that you were live and in living color for. That was something else for a guy that, like I said, not that long ago, people thought was washed up.
Yeah, it proved me wrong. I picked Thurman by decision. I felt like both would be too strategic, especially in the early rounds, to really, really secure a knockout. But when in that first round, when he knocked down Keith Thurman, you saw his face. I mean, he got back up pretty quickly, but he really wasn't the same after that, whether he was hurt or he was just in shock from a mental standpoint that a guy as old as Manny Pacquiao was able to, you know, sit him down on the ring floor. Manny Pacquiao, and I talked to about two or three different pundits, they said fighting a guy like Manny Pacquiao, even past his prime, is still like fighting three different boxers just because of all the weird angles that he comes at you with. Mm-hmm. And maybe Thurman was just a victim of that. I was really – the one thing I am glad that I prefaced is if Manny Pacquiao can land a bunch of body shots on this guy, then I think it could really slow down Thurman and be a good fight for Pacquiao. And he did. He landed some body shots pretty early. He landed some regular shots as well.
I think the blow you're talking about, though, Errol Spence Jr. came out on Twitter afterwards and said he didn't know many boxers that could survive the punch that was thrown at him and return, get up on his feet, and keep fighting. And that said something about Thurman, too.
Yeah, he's definitely a tough dude because after the fifth round or sixth round, he really turned around. He started catching Manny Pacquiao on numerous occasions. It just wasn't enough to get the decision. Manny Pacquiao, well deserved. I don't know what that first judge was thinking, giving the fight to Keith Thurman, but whatever.
But here's the next question, though, is that this is great for Pacquiao, but I mean, what's next? Do you really want to see Pacquiao fight the best of the best now?
What's the end game?
Yeah,
you feel like he's 40. It's going to be at least 6 to 9 months before he would have another fight. It might be 41.
Now, he's not even doing it for the money, right? He's still financially okay. A lot of these guys want to hang in the game because of the money, but for all intents and purposes, from everything I've heard, is he saved his money. He ran for political office in his home country, you know, and I don't know that he's hurting
for
money.
What's his net worth?
He doesn't need money, but he can definitely still make more. I mean, he definitely has a fan base. It was clearly a Manny Pacquiao crowd.
You tweet that they traveled well and that the crowd was very pro-Pacquiao.
He got booed very, very early on. Now, when Keith Thurman was like a real big professional about the loss afterwards.
Yeah, he was very classy.
Then the crowd cheered for him. But up until that point, he was getting all the boos. Manny Pacquiao was getting all the cheers. So, I mean, look, Manny Pacquiao, I imagine he's still going to fight. We asked Leonard Ellerbe, I think, quite a few times, and he said, nope. Another fight with Floyd Mayweather will not happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's lying or not, but Floyd was in the building. I don't expect it to happen, but You never know.
I don't want to
see it. I don't want to see it. It's probably going to be a money fight, but I don't want to see it.
So two different websites reporting two different net worths for Manny Pacquiao. The Wealthy Gorilla is reporting $190 million, and Celebrity Net Worth is reporting $220 million. So you're splitting hairs at that point. He's he's worth over at least $190 million, and if not more.
He's doing
upwards
just
of $200 million. So, yeah, he's not having to take these fights for the money. But I think that, you know, when you – when you get to that kind, that level that Pacquiao gets to in anything you do, whether it be boxing or basketball or baseball, football, it doesn't matter. When you get to that level that he's at, it's because you have such a passion and such a drive to be great at whatever it is that you're doing that you never want to go away from it. You never want to give it up. And but, you know, the old saying is father time is undefeated. Athletes only retire because their body won't let them perform. And, you know, so he loves it, and I'm sure he wants to keep doing it. And if he can get fights like this and defy the odds, I'm sure he's going to keep doing it.
But here's the thing. You want to walk away whenever you choose to do so with your wits about you. You don't want to get caught a couple times with, some, with, you know, a haymaker that rattles your cage to a point where it affects you the rest of your life. You look at Oscar De La Hoya. You look at different people. You know, whether you have that broadcasting itch and you have the communication skills necessary to go into the analysis game.
And he really
does. And be an analyst. Or you do the Oscar route and you become a promoter and you work that side of it, you stay in the game, you stay connected, you do those kind of things. But there are other options for you, and especially because it's not a financial need game for you, I would think that you've proven all you need to prove. Your longevity's been phenomenal, but maybe, you know, it is time to step away and move on because there are guys that their end game is all about belts and titles.
Speaking of the fight game, I don't know if you saw this or not, and I don't recall seeing it on the our list of things to discuss, so I don't want to throw you guys a curveball, but it's really just getting your opinion and giving the news out there. Apparently, John Jones is facing a battery charge.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Stemming from an alleged April incident in Albuquerque, New Mexico. This is what it says. Jones is accused of slapping a cocktail waitress in her genital area at a strip club, pulling her down to his lap, and kissing her neck.
Oh, no.
That's according to the criminal summons obtained by ESPN from the Albuquerque Police Department. This dude just can't seem to stay out of the news and the headlines.
It's everything
it ain't one thing, it's another.
It's unfortunate because he's coming off a big win.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything that he says, like when he talks, oh, my God, that sounded so bad, bro.
Were you farting? What was
that? That sounded like a fart.
That was my glasses.
Bro. Bro, what was that?
I don't know.
What in the hell? Dude, that was your glasses on top of the windscreen.
On top of the microphone, yeah. Yeah,
I was like, who's ripping ass on this show right now in the mic?
For a second, I thought it was me. I'm like, dang, was that? Who was that?
You thought it was you?
Yeah.
You thought it was you and you didn't know you did it?
I was like, who's ripping ass?
Guys, is that me? Did I do that? That's my bad. Is that on me?
Yeah.
But anyway, that John Jones story, that sucks.
Now, he did say, don't be so quick to believe everything you read on the internet, is what he wrote. So obviously this is going to play
out. More details to come out then.
Yep. And we've seen in recent, you know, I mean, Tyreek Hill's a perfect example. We've seen in recent months and years that sometimes things come out and we want to jump to a conclusion. So,
and we all want the news now.
Yep.
But sometimes it takes a little bit to gather everything, and he's denying it. And I think that we owe him, just like anybody else, the court of public opinion needs to slow their roll until we find out all the facts, and then we can go from there, and everybody can have their opinion.
That's right.
All right, we've got plenty of opinions left. We've got a half hour to go on the show and lots more to get to. If you want to join in, we are here for you. 713-780-3776, HRNP Lister Line. Call, tweet, text, and we'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the show as we roll on here on a Monday on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Nick is present and for the most part accounted for after a wild weekend in Vegas. Barry back from Tulsa. I'm just boring old me. I'm just still here.
Can I tell you all my favorite thing about the internet?
Okay. Porn?
Second favorite thing about the internet.
Thank you. Okay. I just want to make sure we clarify. Okay.
I love when you see someone that has like a bio and it'll say they'll have like influencer and social media marketing expert or social media, you know, marketing guru or whatever. They talk about their social media marketing. And then they have like 150 followers. Now, I've never put a lot of stock in followers. And I mean, I messed with one guy because he was messing with me. And I was like, oh, really? All zero of your followers saw this? Because you're literally tweeting to zero followers. But when people claim to be social media experts and they have 100 followers, I'm like, how do you make that claim? How do you say those things? That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, there's no way that you could be a social media expert with, you know, 200 followers.
But again, the entire social media aspect is all about self-creation, self-promotion, self-confidence. And because of the fact that you can hide behind your keyboard so easily, we could go out there and set up. Look at Kevin Durant's situation. He finally got caught because of his own screw up. But you could have a burner account where you create this account and this persona and create this image where you say, I'm so and so. I have 2 degrees in this. I know that. I worked at this company for this many years. And therefore, you have to listen to me.
Yeah, but I mean, these are people that are trying to get you to use them for social media purposes.
I think a lot of times they just want people to listen to them.
If I have more followers than you, I'm not hiring you to do my social media because you obviously don't know what the hell you're doing. That cracks me up.
I tried to hire Nick at one point to do your social media, and then I realized that wasn't as good of an idea as it was thought of it.
It'd just be nothing but D pics from Nick on there. You don't want that on your Twitter. That's awful.
Yeah, D pics from Nick in any way you shape it is not going to be something that you want unless it's the ladies in Vegas, Nick. I don't know.
Could be.
But you know what is a good idea? We want to bring someone in now that's a friend of the show that wants to stop by, brought us some goodies, and we want to get him on the show. Victor Tran is here. Victor from Earthcraft Juicy.
Juicery.
So tell the peeps a little bit about where you are and what you got going.
Sure. So we're right in the River Oaks area next to the Highland Village shopping location.
Okay.
We do a lot of organic cold pressed juices for juice cleanses. Nice. We got the best acai bowls in town, avocado toast, smoothies, a lot of all that healthy stuff. Yeah.
Sweet. Like Nick is a big greener. He loves anything that's a green smoothie.
Oh, yeah.
And he's always good at the cleansings, some that we can't talk about on the air. But
Now, Victor, what do you do for the company?
Sure. I'm one of the co-founders of Earthcraft.
Yeah. You're one of the co-founders?
Yes, sir. And so basically, I'll be there, you know, making sure we juice all the stuff fresh every single morning.
Mm-hmm.
Our juices have between like 3 to 6 pounds of produce per bottle. So you're getting a lot of nutrients in each
bottle. Do you work out?
A little bit. It's the juice, man. It's the juice.
He's all buff.
He juices, Barry. He juices.
Oh, you're on that juice?
Way. Yeah, I'm on the juice, man. I'm juiced.
So is that why you started this? Because you were looking for an alternative that didn't exist?
Or yeah.
What's the background on it?
That and, you know, my family uses a lot of Eastern ingredients growing up, a lot of herbal remedies and stuff, and we wanted to kind of incorporate that into our juices. So you'll see a lot of exotic ingredients that you won't really recognize, like ashwagandha, kamu kamu.
Did we have to dump all that? That sounds like curse words. I don't. Yeah, what is that? What is that? What are those things?
So kamu kamu is the highest vitamin C food on the planet. One berry has 60 times more vitamin C than an orange. So it's like really, really intense.
When Barry was single, he used that line.
So you just, oh my God. I apologize. His smoothies will have corn in them. Corny,
possible.
Very corny.
Would you eat the corn out of my smoothie?
Don't even try. So do you just drop like one of those, what is it called?
Kamu kamu.
Kamu kamu.
Yeah, we put about a serving in there. Yep.
So what's a serving?
You got to come and try it.
Okay.
All right, so let me ask
I'm ready to try it. You brought some for us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to grab these real quick.
Sure,
y'all keep going.
That you have a menu, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I brought some menus on our websites on earthcraftjuicery.com.
So we all know that everybody's on a different diet or believing in a different thing. If they come in, can they go off the menu? Or do you have, like, a la carte where you can get more protein or all those kind of things
as well?
You can.
Yeah, we have our set recipes you can order from, but some people have specific needs. You can just come in, tell us, you know, what you're looking for. We can kind of whip something up for you.
That sounds fantastic, because obviously everybody's always on a health kick, and everybody's always right now focused on becoming healthier. And you hear all the different ways, and some people are doing keto, and it's all about, you know, obviously fats and proteins and cutting out carbs, and other people are focused. Now, vegan has become a big thing. I was watching the baseball game last night, and Josh Donaldson had a big game. And again, kind of like we like to do, you want to go off the beaten path with a few questions.
Yeah.
And they said, so what's on your post-game meal? And steak and this and that and the other thing. And he goes, I don't know. I'm vegan, so I have to ask my girlfriend. Maybe she's cooking something up. But vegan's become a pretty big thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's mostly, you know, people are trying to get more nutrients, you know, trying to pay attention to what they're eating and make sure they're not getting the junk, you know. And so a lot of our ingredients are really nutrient dense. So you're getting a lot of, you know, bang for your buck for any of these ingredients.
Now, how did you, are these all, like, I'm holding an Earthcraft Juicery Deep Green Detox.
Yeah.
Now, is this stuff that you guys came up with on your own? Like, all right, let's try a bunch of stuff and put it in there? So who has to be the guinea pig to try all that? Because I'm sure the first one was awful, right?
Yeah, me, a bunch of friends and family. They kind of hated me for a little bit.
Yeah?
But yeah. We did, like, farmer's markets when we first started out. So we'd go out, let people try it out. And then get feedback and keep, you know.
Now, you brought a bunch of these. This is not just the only two. There's like six in that bag. Which is the best one? Which is your favorite?
So
that's the one I want to try.
The one you're holding is a deep green. That one 16-ounce bottle has almost 2 days' worth of veggies in there.
So I could just take this and tell my wife to leave me alone about vegetables.
Almost.
For 2 days.
Almost.
How many runs to the bathroom?
Yeah.
So it depends on your diet. See, I'm used to it now, but if you've been eating nothing but like barbecue all summer and you have one of those,
you're gonna
get cleaned out.
Yeah. So gonna, hey,
we're
Nick,
talking like a dumber scenario. It's not like that bad, right?
Not quite.
Okay.
Not quite.
All right.
There's a guy down the hall named AJ.
Okay.
I want you to introduce him to that, but I don't want him to tell you. I don't want you to tell him the last part. Just tell him if he drinks that, even on a keto diet, that it is going to tighten him up and really do a lot in a short period of time. I think that would be fantastic.
Can I read what's in here?
Oh, yeah,
real quick?
Please.
So it's kale, spinach, parsley, bok choy, celery, lime, cucumber, moringa leaf.
Yep.
That one that you said. Ashwagandha.
Yep.
Red.
Reishi mushroom.
Oh, it's a mushroom?
Yep.
Cayenne, black cumin seed oil, and black lava salt.
Yeah.
So what does it taste like?
It tastes like a salad.
Tastes like Lantau.
Yeah, but it's really palatable. Yeah, you can down it down pretty good.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's refreshing. Yeah.
Okay.
And we got some stuff with like fruit in there too. There's like a watermelon juice, our seasonal one.
It looks good.
Yeah, we put like some cucumber, apple, strawberries in there, you know.
That's probably sounds like what I would like more, because I don't want to be pooping a lot. That's for sure.
Are you trying to get right, detox a little bit?
Now,
yeah.
Well, Joel's full of it, so he probably should take that one for sure.
Nick is a green.
You're going to need
Nick
that,
Nick is more
Joel.
Of the mean green philosophy. Nick makes his own, I think you need to talk to him about just what he puts into his, and the fact that from a sanitary standpoint, he does not have these disposable cups with lids. He puts saran wrap over the top and then jams a straw in the middle
of Nick.
It.
It's not, but it's sanitary, right?
Get away, ass Nick.
Depends on who
I don't
you
have those
to.
Fancy wraps that he has at his store.
Now, what are these? What are in these?
So that's our Achilles smoothie and our Victor's Secret protein smoothie.
Okay.
Yeah, and we got raw cacao in there. That one, the Achilles tastes like peanut butter and chocolate.
You got who what?
A raw cacao.
Raw cacao, yep.
Raw cacao.
That's the raw version of chocolate.
Oh, really?
Yep.
All right, well, I'm going to try this.
Hey, can I tell you what I put in my smoothie and you tell me what's missing?
All right.
Spinach leaf, flaxseed, banana, strawberries. A little bit of ice, a little bit of water, and some protein powder. What am I missing?
Man, you just got loaded up with more greens.
Yeah, it's usually like 50 or 60%
greens. Oh, okay, then it's solid.
Half
of
it is greens, at least.
That sounds like a good smoothie.
This is really good.
Yeah.
This is really good.
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what's the benefit of taking or drinking one of these? What's this for, like post-workout?
Yeah, that's so we have pea protein in there, and there's some bananas, raw cacao.
I'm sorry, you have what?
Pea protein, plant-based protein.
Oh,
yeah, peas.
I liked it better when you just told me he was drinking pea protein.
All right, you freaked me out there for a minute, Victor, because when you said pea protein, I almost gagged there. I didn't know what that was. But now we, plant-based protein. All right, cool. And what's in the other one?
That's the Victor's Secret. So it's going to be a plant-based protein with blueberries, bananas, some more some of the superfoods in there.
Okay.
Ashwagandha, yeah.
I like this, man. This is good stuff. I'm going to try this.
Tell the peeps how to reach you.
Yeah.
Sure. Our website's earthcraftjuicery.com. Our social media on all platforms, earthcrafthdx. And then our address is 2400 Mid Lane, right off of West.
Oh, Island. I know exactly where you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool,
yeah.
Cool.
Right next to Boss Cat.
Where they, yeah, they did all the new construction.
Yeah,
and all that?
Yep,
okay, all got that. It. Well, we appreciate you stopping in,
absolutely,
spending some time.
Thanks,
well, let's stop by anytime. So you peeps go out and support the Victor and get behind this. Get some healthy stuff into your system and probably be a return customer. Speaking of return customers, we're going to be back with a whole lot more in the final segment of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, I want to tell you about Get Upside, man. Get Upside is the play. If you like cash back, if you like money in your pocket, if you like getting paid for the stuff you're paying for, dude, download Get Upside to your phone right now. It's completely free. No catch, no gimmicks. There's no hidden fees. This ain't like FaceApp and the Russians get all your information. This is just you getting cash back for the stuff you're paying for, like gas and like food. Look, everybody that I know here at the station is getting on Get Upside because they're like, man, everybody else is getting this money. I want to get it too. Nick's on it. I'm on it. AJ's on it. We've been on it for a while. Aaron Raybould and his wife are on it, and they argue about who gets to put gas in the car. Jake Asman's on it. Got $7 in his first fill-up. And I love that the listeners are sending me screenshots of how much money they're getting from Get Upside because it absolutely works. It's easy to use, and make sure you put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, when you download it, because that's going to get you a bump in the cash back department on your first fill-up through the app. It's so easy to use. There's a map. There's literally a map that shows you, hey, here's all the deals in your area. Whatever deal you like, you just say claim, and then you go and you make that purchase with a debit or credit card and upload a receipt. So you're literally doing all of that except uploading a receipt anyways. So think of it as one extra step to get cash back in your pocket for stuff you're paying for already. And these businesses want you to go to them. That's why they're using GetUpside as a tool to get to you to get your business. So don't pass it up. If somebody walked up to you, like Jake Asman got $7 back on his first fill-up through the app. If someone walked up to you while you're pumping gas and said, here's $7, you going to tell them no thank you? Heck yeah, you're getting that money. So get that money through GetUpside right now. Put it on your phone. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final segment of the show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. They're back too, so the regular lineup is present and accounted for. That's all you need to know in your sports listening pleasure of a day. ESPN 97.5 is the only place to get everything you need to entertain you throughout your day from start to finish, 7 to 7, and then some. And by the way, Patrick Creighton, making sure the peeps know, the broadcast day doesn't end at 7 as Late Hits is out there kicking some butt with ratings.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Good for him.
PC's been putting it out there that one of the top 5 shows in the city.
In the city, huh?
Yeah. Killing it at night. So
good for him.
Tougher demo and way to go, PC.
Yeah.
So you have that. And again, shout out to Victor. Great stuff here.
Yeah, this is
very,
really
very
good.
Tasty stuff.
Yeah, so I'm digging, appreciate I'm digging whatever this one was with the pee in it.
Yeah, no. You like pee in your mouth.
Oh, wow. Really? Really?
Yeah, pee protein. That's what it stands for.
Really?
Yeah, isn't that what he said?
All right.
Nick, you got a little bit of like a cooking with Nick so that he could break down what you're going to put in your next swamp monster, or whatever you call
I'm
that
all
thing
about
you drink.
The shakes. This is the first time I feel like I've gotten some free stuff that I really, really am about. Like I love veggie because it's like, how do you consume your veggies? You either eat it or you drink it, and it may sound nasty to you, but I prefer drinking it because it's easier.
Well, no, if it actually tastes better, like because a lot of times you'll see those kind of smoothies, and if you just throw an apple in there with a bunch of kale and spinach and stuff, it tastes like the apple.
That's
so
the key.
It's like drinking apple juice, but you're eating spinach.
Because Nick's right.
Kale.
If you got to chew it in your mouth and you have to get that taste just sits there, it's so much more difficult to digest than if you can just take a big gulp of it, like doing a shot. I mean, you want the results of the alcohol, but sometimes you just don't want to taste what the shot.
Right.
That's why you do it quickly. So.
Well, I left you some. And I don't know what the ladies took, but I left you. There was like, he brought us 6 of these jars.
Oh.
So I the ones I grabbed was the Fountain of Youth.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can stay young and be the youngest one
on the
show.
I heard that improves widow's peak. No?
But this has apples, beets, and carrots. So I know this is going to taste good because it's got the apples in it. And then this other one that's going to make me boo-boo for 2 days.
You sure you don't want to get that to AJ?
No, I need to clean myself out.
Can't you just put a new label on it that says, like, this says, Power Plus?
Well, this says detox, weight loss, vitamins, and micronutrients. And those are all things weight I'm very passionate about.
Crap for about 2 days straight.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so that was good stuff. Good stuff on the show today. We covered a lot of ground. Again, if you missed it, Adam Schefter was fantastic. So I believe that they've already got it up on the website, and they will be tweeting it out as well. So that was very cool. And we should have a pretty good week with everybody present and accounted for going forward.
Did you happen to see – I saw a tweet from Tracy, and then I saw you had posted a link to it later. But this LSU locker room thing.
Yeah. That's the last thing I want to get to, too. Craziness, isn't it?
I don't understand why they would spend so much money like that.
So there's two different things. One thing is to know about the locker room, if you haven't seen any pictures yet, is that we constantly are talking about how colleges are trying to one-up the next school in what they add to their locker, from the cleat drying things to all the different things. LSU now has where the seat at everyone's locker has a drawer underneath it, and if you pull the drawer out, it becomes like a sleeping quarters, and all the players have their own individual, basically small bed that they can take a nap, whether it be during the day or at any time, because they have 24-hour access to this. And the other aspect of this is, and I don't know if you saw this or not, but Darren Revelle tweeted it out on a split screen that someone else notated and took pictures of the Louisiana State University library, where one whole wall was half eroded and the floor was rotting away. And it's like, so we can pay this much for a football locker room, but we can't fix the library.
And that's the exact point I wanted to get to, is that you as much money as they're spending, because this could not have been cheap. It looks like it's got a cup holder. It's got a place to put your phone on, and I'm sure it's got
reading lamp in there.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was, is a lamp and not a place, but it looks like something you can mount your phone on. And I'm guessing that there's some sort of noise-canceling headphones that they are provided, because let's be real, it's a locker room full of football players. Half of them are fat and probably have sleep apnea, so there's no way you're getting any sleep in there with a bunch of fat dudes snoring. So they got that option, I'm guessing. It just seems like a whole lot of money for guys to play football. And I get it. It's going to help in recruiting, and yay for you. Mm-hmm. But then when you hear something like that, and you know, and LSU is a beautiful campus. It really is. If you've never been, it's a gorgeous campus. But I imagine that there were a lot of things that they could have done on that campus and every other major campus. Let's not just single it out. This just
Oklahoma,
happens to be in the
Alabama. Like I A&M. Said, when A&M's another one. When ESPN goes in and does these stories that everybody wants them to do, promoting, because it helps recruiting, to say, if I'm a high school athlete thinking about going to Alabama, if I can see that locker room and those facilities, look, there's a reason why Oregon is on the map in football and basketball. It's because Phil Knight and Nike spent a boatload of money to make sure that their player facilities are as good as anybody in the country. So kids look at this stuff. But on the flip side, everybody else looks at it and goes, so we're putting all that money into that, but what about from an educational standpoint and the buildings and facilities that are being used on a daily basis by the student body? Because the other thing that I was going to throw out there is LSU people are quick to point out, look, the football program brought in like $147 million last year. Their expenses were like $132. So if they got $15 million to play with, then they can conceivably do what they want with it. So there's two schools of thought.
Well, I guess so. And then there's this third school of thought, because, I mean, we don't have time to open up that debate. But Eric Reed posted, the locker room when I was at LSU 7 years ago was better than the current one in Carolina. But there's no money to compensate these young men for the revenue they bring to the school. So that also, you get that debate as well. So it's just, I mean, when you look at this thing, it looks space age. It looks, so that was those little pod things that I thought was for screens. It was for each station, each seat has its own iPad to watch
like each
film
bed
and whatever. Yeah. It's just, man.
See, because here's the thing, and we don't have the time to really delve deep into it, but if you want to respond to Eric Reed, you could say, but without them providing you the opportunity to play football and be on that campus, you wouldn't have been able to promote your product, which is yourself, to get yourself a look at the NFL and be in the position that you're in now. So we can go round and round on this. The bottom line is this is the new calling card for all of college football in particular, but college, big time college revenue generating sports is going to be the facilities that you can offer a player means so much to these kids. Look, the uniforms. Again, I go back to Oregon, but when Phil Knight said you can have on a 12-game schedule 12 different uniforms, 12 different helmets, 12 different combinations of pad, you know, jerseys and pants and things like that, kids lose their mind in that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And then the Texas Tiger, who is at Purple and Gold on Twitter, sent us something, and it's a tweet from the Jeff Martin with two E's. But it says, over the last 10 years, LSU Athletics has contributed roughly $100 million towards the general university, nearly $40 million in the last 5 years. First of all, I'd like to see the source. That's the first and foremost thing, because it's great that you can throw these stats out, but where's the source on that? Because I don't know. That seems like an awful lot of money, and he said that LSU is the first in the country in contributing to their to the academic side of the school. Well, great, but I don't know. Just anyone can type anything they want on the internet. So I would love to see the source on that. And if it's true, then good for them.
Wait,
what? Yeah, 100 million.
Anyone can type anything they want on the internet?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't
it? Even during radio shows and they can get in direct contact with them?
Call you the F word? Yeah, apparently that's the case.
Boy, you're funny.
That can happen.
You should be a comedian.
I just don't understand. Like, I feel like, do they really need beds for all of the players? Do they really need, I mean, is that going to make this a better football team? I know it's going to help in recruiting.
It's a great question,
damn,
because look, and like
gluttony.
I said,
it was gluttony.
Right, because when you look at, players only, to use that term, but they have, like, the football team has its own study areas, mm-hmm. their own building, which has lounges with video games and Papa Shots and
don't
couches.
Don't try to go in. Get out of here, nerd.
And you're in an athletic dorm where you have a bed. And I'm sure it's in relatively close proximity to the practice facility and the locker rooms. Mm-hmm. It does seem a bit excessive.
It really does. When you think about that, it's college and these kids are supposed to be there as student athletes.
Right.
And I understand, again, the economics of the recruiting and why you do this. But I just feel like it's getting crazy. Like, it's just, and I'm not even, I don't want to begrudge them, because again, the team I root for is doing the same thing. They're just as awful. A&M is just as bad at spending stupid amount of money.
And would you get as much run if the university said, we just paid for 66 full and part-time tutors available 24 hours a day so that our athletes can pass all their classes?
Yeah.
That's not getting a run on ESPN. That's not getting this run with pictures on.
True that.
That's not going to get the same kind of exposure.
True that.
So, all right, good first show of the week, fellas. Glad to have you guys back. Missed y'all, and I'm glad you're back in the city, and I do mean that sincerely. And I'm glad you guys follow us every single day, being suspects of the show. We will be back tomorrow, and hopefully so will you. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. The Blitz is next.